All right, everybody. It is another Toolbox Tuesday. Welcome, welcome. Hope everybody is having a good Tuesday today. If you have not been with us before, every Tuesday we have what we call Toolbox Tuesday in our practices, where the theme of the huddle in all of our offices is one of the tools that our team has in their toolkit. So we talk about a concept, a mindset, a cheat sheet, something that everyone can focus on and make sure that we are on the same page with. So we are sharing that with you every Tuesday.
And this one's a pretty shocking one, at least it was for me, and kind of the
Oh,
difference in what this
spicy.
is. It definitely hits, it hits hard to a lot of us because I
Yes.
think it makes us reflect on, or at least it made myself reflect on what I was actually doing and why I was doing it. And was I actually doing what I thought was right, or doing what I knew was good for whoever I was coaching, teaching, working with? So I'm excited to do this one, but I think it's also one that's going to be a little bit of a painful, humble humility for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. And it's one of those that I think you have to sit with for a minute or two or a couple of days to really kind of look in the mirror. And we talked about this topic with our leadership team and our doctors
Right.
first before we presented this to our team. But the concept that we are talking about today is what the difference is between being nice versus being kind. And those words are usually used interchangeably. And you first hear about that, think, well, we want everyone to be nice and we want everyone to be kind. When you start to break that down, we realized we have a lot of nice team members who are not necessarily kind to each other. And we fall into the same trap again with our doctors and with our leadership team. It is a tough one. We got a lot of nice people running around.
Yeah, well, I think the main point, I'll jump right to the chase, is a lot of the nice people that are nice all the time are avoiding tough conversations. And it's essentially what it kind of boils down to. And I think that's when we get the kind part, which is actually what are we trying to do when we have those conversations with people? Are you really trying to help that person? Or are you just trying to make them feel better and brush it aside and move on with your day? And then that's a very, when you start looking at it that way, you really start to reflect on, are you going to be strong enough to kind of have those conversations because they're good for those people you're talking to and for the business?
Yeah, so just to break it down, kind of what the delineating factors are here, being nice is when you are glossing over what the situation might be. You are trying to avoid confrontation. You are sugarcoating it. And you're trying to do that to avoid conflict in the moment, but that is not resolving the long-term conflict that's coming. What ends up happening is that you're building resentment as you go because you have all of these little things that you're just going to take care of it, or I don't want to talk about it in the moment.
Right.
And it builds and builds and builds. And then all of a sudden it blows. We've talked about before with our doctors holding our team members accountable. If they're going to let something go, and on the one hand, we don't want our doctors just picking apart our team members for every little thing that comes up, things are going to happen throughout the course of the day. But if they're going to let something go and not acknowledge it, they can't let it go 10 times and then blow on time number 11. And then the team is going, who is this jerk and where did you come from here? But that frustration has been building all that time because, in air quotes, the doctor was trying to be nice in the moment.
Right. And just to kind of an example that we've had in the past and probably more recent past is, the doctor that is not happy with the way he's being supported by his team. Things are late, things are not set up, things are, the treatment presentations aren't the way they're supposed to be in the op, the support's not the where it needs to be. And thinking that the best way to get that going, get that improving, is to shower the team with compliments and gifts and food and all these smiling faces, and that doesn't work. It creates a situation where the team is really, really confused because they know they're not stupid. They know things aren't going well, but when the doctor's not strong enough to relay that and actually coach them on it, it creates a really, really relationship that becomes confusing and is really just a ticking time bomb.
Well, and then it goes downstream from there, because or upstream, depending on how you look at it, because a lot of the times then the doctors are coming to me because they want me to solve this situation. And I have no problem, going to someone and, you need to knock it off. What are you doing? That I have no problem talking to someone about something. But then in the team member's mind, well, that only matters to Jennifer. That doesn't matter to Dr.
Right.
whoever, because he brought me donuts this morning and he told us that we're rock stars and we're having a fantastic day. It doesn't have the same effect, right? Then I'm just the adults and Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah in the background. So,
Right. So it needs to come from the people in the moment, and being kind is having the strength and caring about someone enough to have constructive criticism, right? And letting people know when they do something really well, and letting them know when they really need to improve on something because it's critical.
well, and this is something, I've been very open with our team about that I don't struggle a whole lot with this. And so sometimes I'm not the best person to help them because I can be blunt sometimes to a fault. And even when giving our doctors, constructive feedback, they need to have that in the moment too. If we have a situation where a patient didn't understand the treatment that they were recommending or they weren't clear during an exam, that assistant being able to go to that doctor, within the hour, hey, while it's fresh in your mind, patient Billy didn't understand why they needed the crown on number three. I tried to explain it after the fact. That's so much more valuable than weeks later, we're looking at case acceptance and why are scheduling rates down? Well, this assistant has this information that the patients aren't understanding the treatment that we're recommending, all of those kind of things. When I would be, and I use this as an example all the time, when I would be in exams with Sten, if he went off the rails, I'd walk out of the room and I'd tell him flat out, you messed up that exam. I don't know what you were talking about, but I didn't know. So I guarantee you that patient didn't know. So I didn't hold back. I don't understand why we can't do that sometimes. But, there's the intimidation factor of it's a doctor and this, but they need to know as much as everyone else does. So.
Yeah. And that really helps because I think, there's a lot of dentists that, practice in silos, right? And whether they're in a solo practice or a partnership, but they don't get a whole lot of feedback. They don't get a whole lot of constructive feedback, for themselves. And, I don't think it's safe, fair to say that they like that. They like being thinking that everything is perfect. They're doing a great job all the time. But I don't think that's necessarily the case with all doctors like that. But you start to get comfortable in what you do day in, day out, whether it's working or not, because no one is being kind enough to tell you you're screwing that up, and it's so important. And not, it doesn't necessarily have to be you're screwing that up. It can be you are, maybe we should try it this way, or let's work on this, or hey, I noticed when the patient was having this reaction, maybe they didn't appreciate that comment, or maybe you should try, relaying this message a different way. And that kind of constructive feedback from both sides, from the dental assistant, from the front office, from everyone in the office to the doctor and vice versa, and creating that environment where everyone can kind of help people improve. And it's one of our core values. We have it's better than yesterday. And it really means that we're looking for ways to improve, and we're looking for people to tell us when we're doing something good, to repeat a certain thing, and for when we need to change it, right? And we need to be humble enough to take that constructive criticism from everyone in the office, whether it's the, the brand new dental assistant, all the way up to any another doctor partner, or a boss, or an office manager, whatever it is.
Well, and I, Sten holds me accountable for this also because I struggle with this sometimes when it comes to text messages or Slack messages because we have very open Slack communication. We've talked about that in some of our prior Toolbox Tuesdays that that's a main mode of communication for us. And just like there are trolls on the internet, sometimes people will put something out in a Slack that is much easier to write out in front of a computer screen than it is to tell a person to their face. And I'll be reading that message going, yikes, there's not a tone in a text, but I can feel the frustration coming through
You can
and I'm
feel
trying to,
the
I can
gravity of
feel
it.
it. Yeah. And I want to soften it right before I send it off to a doctor, instead of just copying and pasting that message. This is the feedback that we received. And Sten will remind me again of radical candor, right? You're not doing them any favors. And by me thinking that I need to interpret it for them is likely making the situation worse. I'm assuming that they're going to read it XYZ way rather than these are the facts of the situation. It's really not up to me to gauge how they're going to interpret it, right? This is how someone else perceived it. And then it's on them as to what they do with that information. It's my responsibility to make sure that they have that information and that it doesn't build so that months go down the road and, oh, well, actually, this assistant did say 3 months ago that XYZ happened. Well, why didn't you ever tell me that? Right.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it goes the other way too, with Slack or interoffice communication or whatever you guys are using too. It's, you know, the same way that it can be a little more forceful sounding in Slack, it can actually go the opposite way too, where we've had different messages too, where Jennifer and I read the message and it's posted, across all three offices, and we don't see that there was a problem in the way that it was written on Slack. And it almost sounds like it was trying, they're trying to kind of sugarcoat a little bit. But then the problem is that we have a one-on-one conversation, whether it's with a team member or a doctor, and it's a very emotional, painful situation, but they're not portraying it. And so I think, that's just, it needs to be, it kind of needs to go both ways. And I think the best way to do something is to kind of collect your thoughts and have that constructive conversation with that person as close to the situation as possible, so it doesn't get moved, or so it doesn't get misinterpreted or forgotten about what exactly happened. But if that's not possible in certain situations, we're all busy, we have a lot of things going on in the office, then doing something like Slack or even email or even text is fine. But we need to, it needs to have a way that is constructive and not just overly nice or overly mean for that matter either.
And we're going to be much more even with our emotions if we are handling these things as they come up and not letting them build to the point of resentment to then you're assuming that this person is a mind reader and understood all these other situations that have happened that have made XYZ challenging for you. And something that we remind our team too is just like we talk about with patients, it can be a conversation, not a confrontation, right?
Right.
Even when we've had really emotionally charged situations, we don't have, knock on wood, I know all things are possible, but we don't have team members or doctors who are throwing things at each other and yelling and screaming and storming out of the office and, having this big, Desperate Housewives of Orange County situation going on, right? That's not what's happening in the practices. They're having a conversation. And you can also walk away from a conversation if it's not productive and if it just turns into back and forth. But everyone reminding everyone that it goes on both sides, that you have to be willing to give that feedback, but you also have to be willing to receive that feedback. And something that we also remind our team that just because that is a person's perception doesn't make it fact. It doesn't mean that you're on trial on the stand and all of a sudden you have to defend yourself as to why XYZ, whatever the case may be. But most of the time when people get defensive about something, it's because they feel like they were spoken to.
Right,
And that's a
right.
hard thing to accept sometimes also.
And I think that point about being open to the constructive feedback is the most critical point of this whole topic. Is if you are defensive every single time someone comes to you with any kind of feedback, whether that's a dental assistant to a doctor, a manager to a doctor, a doctor to doctor, you can't expect honest feedback in the future. Right. And you have to create an environment, you have to create a culture where people know that if they're going to give you a suggestion, they're going to give you, whether it's a compliment or a constructive piece of information, that you're going to always accept it. Now, as that person, that's very hard to do, right? Because we always want to be defensive. If someone tells me I did something wrong, we're going to try to defend ourselves, and we need to really, really try hard so that the first thing out of our mouth is not defensive. We need to thank the person, and because we should, and we literally should thank that person, because if we don't create a culture where we're getting that feedback, we're not going to get it in the future, and we're not going to improve quickly. It's going to slow our trajectory of improvement. And the faster we can get that constructive feedback from everyone around us, the faster we can improve. And we need to thank that person, even if we don't agree with it, even if we don't agree
It's
with
a hard thing. Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Well, and this particular topic came up because we just did our most recent round of team recognition surveys. We do this every 6 or 8 weeks with our entire team. They all have a different theme where we can give anonymous feedback for our fellow team members because, again, sometimes it is difficult to talk with someone individually. And it's another way for us to ensure that we have an outlet for open communication. If there is something that we can do to improve, it gets back to our BTY, better than yesterday, core value that Sen mentioned. But one of the things that always comes out with the team recognition surveys, I always say every single time, shots fired, right? I mean, they sometimes are overly harsh. And time again, then, we'll go back to the individual team members where something was said or this person needs to improve on XYZ. And that person always, always says, I wish that whoever wrote that would have come to me directly. Right? I don't want to find out about that on a survey. I could have been working on that all this time. Why are we finding out that for the first time? So that's why it circled back to talking with our doctors and our leadership team. We have to make sure that we're fostering an environment where people do feel like they can do that. And what can we do to improve that? Because time and again, we're saying we don't want to just find this out on a Google form every couple of months.
But that's someone being nice and not being kind.
Right.
And it could have gone a way where the person who needed the constructive feedback was not open to it for so long, that person didn't feel comfortable for going to that person individually.
Right.
And so they felt they needed to speak up anonymously. And that's a failure somewhere and the breakdown somewhere in the pathway. And that needs to be fixed. Yeah.
And that's not to say that, you know, there are situations, one of our pathwayisms is shake it off, right? If you are having a day and the stress is getting to you for whatever reason, we have all asked our team members to hold each other accountable. If they notice that in someone, just saying, shake it off, not what the hell is wrong with you and you need to change your attitude. Like, hey, do you need to go take a walk around the block for 5 minutes? Go shake it off for a minute. That's our cue that, like, hey, you outwardly are displaying whatever the issue is. That's not the next patient's fault that something happened earlier in the day. Like, we need to do a reset. You know, just because you're frustrated with this assistant doesn't mean you can take it out on, you know, all of the other assistants. Maybe in that moment, the feedback is not appropriate, but that can't happen day after day after day after day. That should just be a moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So we all agreed as a team that we want to be kind and not just be nice. That was our overarching, you know, yes, we realize it's a challenge to do. It takes more time. It takes more energy, but that's what's going to ultimately help us grow. Everyone acknowledged that if we're just being nice and sweeping things under the rug, that's building resentment. That's not helping us in the long run. You know, we mentioned a couple Toolbox Tuesdays ago that only dead fish flow downstream, right? That's the only dead fish are the ones that are going with the flow, right? Someone is going to have an issue with something eventually if we just let it go. The more consistent that we can remain in our communication, this gets back to expectations, right? If the team is expecting and knows that we are expecting them to give us feedback, they're going to do that on a more regular basis instead of, well, should I wait? Should I not approach this doctor? Should I wait until I do a team recognition survey? Maybe now is not the time. No, just like, hey, let's all be open to it, because the short-term solve is not the long-term solution if something really does need to be addressed.
Right.
So I challenge all of you, how many nice, and again, in air quotes, how many nice people do you have on your team versus how many kind people do you have on your team? We are striving for kind people on our team, and it will be an everlasting process, right? You have new people that come on the team and you kind of have to get them on board with that culture, but that's what we're working towards. So,
and are you being nice and not kind to your own team too, right?
Yes.
Are you not getting the support that you need because you're being nice and not giving them the feedback that they need? Or letting it boil over and let the volcano burst one day.
Right. That's not helping anybody. Nobody wants a volcano. That is for sure. So. Well, we will be back next Tuesday with another topic that we are talking about with our team. If you want to connect with us, our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. You can visit us on our website, pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or we are on all of the social platforms. So feel free to reach out. We do still have registration going for the free week of our Level Up First 400 Back Office Training Program. If you're interested in that, you can register for that through our website, and we'll see you back next Tuesday.
All right.
Bye, everybody.